T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
7:03 on a Tuesday night. Welcome on in. Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio with you. We have Tucker Bagley producing the show behind the glass. John Johnson on the updates tonight on a night where the Sixers begin to play some sort of real basketball. Doesn't count, but it's real nonetheless. And we are 3 weeks away, or 2.5 weeks away, I guess it is. 3 weeks away from the start tomorrow of the regular season in the NBA. Maybe it's two. You know what? I've lost track. We'll get to them as we get to the basketball season. But right now, we got a lot to talk about tonight. We appreciate Howard hopping in. We'll get to the Phillies, I promise. We have a new segment tonight called Dear John, and I'll be presenting my feelings to John Middleton on what the heck's going on here with the Phillies. I also have some advice for Gabe Kapler I want to throw out there, new advice for him and what I would do if I was him. So that's all coming up. And I'll give you some thoughts on Buck Showalter as well, as he's the name, the hot name, that could be the replacement if Gabe is to go. But I want to start with the Eagles. Off a win, my first chance to talk about it here since the game on Sunday. And look, Sunday went, in terms of the score, in terms of the feeling, in terms of the flow of the game, basically the way any of us should have expected. The Jets are a wretched football team with a bad coach, a quarterback that barely belongs in the NFL, if that, no offensive line, and Le'Veon Bell, who looks like a shell of himself right now behind that group of nonsense. So I'm not surprised that the Eagles dominated. I'm not surprised that the Eagles went out there and had a big game Sunday and walked away with a victory. But here is the question I have in my mind, and I've had it since watching the game. And I've had it for watching 5 weeks now. When I look at the Eagles, I see a good football team. I see a team that when the season began, I thought was a 10-win football team. I did not think the Eagles were a great team. I don't think the Eagles are a great team. And nothing in 5 weeks, both good and bad, has changed my mind on them. And Sunday's game was a nice win, and it was one they obviously had to have, and one that in no point of the game Sunday did I think anything was going to change. They were going to win that football game. Look, do I wish the offense played a little better? I think we all do. I think we'd all have a bigger and better feeling in our mind of this team moving forward if the offense gave us something. That was a defensive game, and it was hard to take a ton away from what happened because it was such inept Jets offense that I think against a real quarterback, I'll give you this. If Sam Darnold played in that game Sunday, a healthy Sam Darnold, I don't think the game's in question, but I think the Jets put up some points. I think the Jets might have 17 points on the board, and maybe the Eagles don't have a defensive score, and maybe in the fourth quarter, like, this game shouldn't be close, but it is. Eagles win, but I think it's a different football game if Sam Darnold's back there. The defense got after the quarterback. They had 10 sacks. Skandrick was incredible. But my mind on the Eagles has not changed. And I don't see, when I look at this team top to bottom, I don't see the capability of being a great football team or a dominant football team this year. What I see is a good one. And I see one that's going to have to fight and scratch and claw for everything. One that has a quarterback right now that is good, not great. One that is a secondary right now that is just kept together by bubblegum and duct tape. It's not good enough back there, despite Orlando Skandrick's historic day. And I see a football team that is older and has injury issues that it could concern me. And the schedule, let's just be real about it. The next 6 weeks are as difficult as any team in the NFL will have in this season. At Minnesota, at Dallas, at Buffalo, Chicago, bye, New England, Seattle. That is as difficult of a stretch as you will see in the NFL this season. Their next six opponents are 22-8. So when I add up what my eyes have shown me through 5 weeks, when I add up what the quarterback is right now at this stage of his career, the weapons, the issues, the injuries, and the schedule, I don't think we're getting a dominant football team. I don't think the Eagles are going to now, because that was a conversation I heard yesterday, listen to WIP a little bit. Has the corner been turned? Are the Eagles ready to turn the corner? I don't see a corner being turned. I think this is the Eagles. And I believe it's going to be good enough to keep them in the mix, and they're going to be there in the end. But I don't think we're getting a dominant football team this year. That's how I feel. Tucker, what are you seeing?
I'm certainly a lot more hopeful than you are. When I look at this team, they obviously aren't up to the level of 2017 yet. I mean, that team was historically dominant for much of the season. But you look at the things that team did well, and this team does a lot of things like that 2017 team. Right now, they're second and third down offense. They're fifth in the red zone. They've only turned the ball over six times. Carson Wentz only has two interceptions. Mm-hmm. And even that Packers game 2 weeks ago, I think that probably was the toughest game on their schedule, even as you look ahead at the issues that their schedule
presents.
Well,
the short week.
But the short week going into Lambeau against an undefeated Packers team, and you see what the Packers did to the Cowboys on Sunday afternoon. That win looks even more impressive now. Add in the fact that cornerbacks are coming back. Jalen Mills is going to be back at some point. Ronald Darby, even though he's been pretty unimpressive this year, is coming back at some point and will certainly be an upgrade over Craig James or whatever undrafted free agent they find camping out outside the NovaCare complex this week. I don't know if the corner has been turned yet, but they certainly have the potential and they're capable of becoming that dominant team that we saw 2 years ago.
888-729-9494. Let's start there. So when you look at the Eagles, 5 weeks in, five games in, there have been some good moments. Week one, the second half, the explosion against Washington. Week four, as Tucker just mentioned, a win that I agree with him there. It looks even better now that Green Bay went to Dallas and won. It does. I think the Falcons win looks, or the Falcons loss looks worse because the Falcons are just stink. I mean, that might be a 5 or 6 win team this year. That doesn't look like a loss you look back on and say, oh, I got it. No, that's a bad loss. But the Packer win looks better. I'd say the Lion loss looks better because the Lions are a pretty solid football team. But through 5 weeks, you watch the Eagles. Do you see the capability for dominance? I don't see it. I see too many holes. I see the schedule being an issue. And I see a football team that simply looks good to me, that has areas where it could be good this year. But I don't think we're getting that team. This reminds me of the conversation we had with the Phillies during the summer. At some point during the summer with the Phillies, because we all expected them to be good, they got off to a pretty good start. And then when they started falling back a little bit, I think we all have that question. Are things going to get better from where we are now? Or are things going to get or stay the same or be worse? And that's the way the Eagles have been. They've had a weird start to the season, up and down. They're okay now, right? They're back and tied for first place in the NFC East, which you know, that was helped out by what Aaron Rodgers and the Packers did on Sunday in Dallas. But I guess if you see it, explain to me what I'm missing, because I don't see it. The one thing, as Tucker said, they're good at situational football. Third down, red zone, and they're not turning the football over. Those things, those are traits of good football teams. But I see too many pockets where it's just, it's blah, or it's not good enough. A couple years, we've seen dominance from the Eagles. We've seen it. We know what Eagles dominance looks like under Doug Peterson and Carson Wentz. We've seen it just 2 years ago. I don't expect them to be that good. I didn't expect them to be that good before the season. But I can't be fooled now. Like a win over the Jets, a win over the hapless Jets isn't going to make me feel like I'm seeing dominance. I know what it looks like with this team or with the this core. And Sunday didn't feel that way to me. Sunday felt like more of a indication of how bad the Jets are than how good the Eagles can be. 888-729-9494. You've watched the Eagles for 5 weeks now. You've seen them at their best, their worst, and whatever in between has looked like. Do you see a team that you feel can be dominant this year, can reach that, has that capability? Tucker does. I don't see it. And it's not because they've had struggles. In fact, we were talking before the show, they're exactly where I thought they would be. Now, they got there in a different way, but I said before the season, 2-2 through the first month, and I thought they'd beat the Jets. So I thought 3-2 through 5 was where this team would be. But full disclosure, and I said it here during the show, I didn't expect a dominant team this year. I don't think they have, number one, that personnel. Number two, the schedule did not set up that way. And number three, I don't expect greatness out of Carson Wentz. Like, that's part of it. If you have a great quarterback, if you have one great unit, I think that kind of pushes you towards upper echelon. I don't see one great unit. I see good aspects. I see a pass rush that obviously can get going when it has some, bad offensive linemen in front of them. I see players that can make some plays on this defense, and Jim Schwartz is doing a good job scheming things up. I see some talent in the backfield, but it's not special talent. I see a good offensive line, but there's some age there. I see good receivers, but so far they haven't been the group that we've hoped for. Now, part of that's injury, part of that's age, part of that's drops, but whatever. They poured a lot of money into this wide receiver slash tight end group, and it hasn't been special. So I look at a football team that looks like a 10-win team to me. not a 12 or 13 win outfit that's going to just run away with things. 888-729-9494. Biggest win of the season, at least by point differential. Dominant win. A game that, in theory, could springboard them into a difficult stretch here. And make no bones about it. If the Eagles can win two out of three on the road, it is a great little run through October. I will take one, but if they can win two, that'd be a great run, and then they'd be off and running. I just don't see the capability for greatness from this team. Now, I want to preface this before we go to the phone lines and say, the NFC this year, I'm not seeing a great team. I'm not seeing, and I know, you know, obviously San Francisco's 4-0, and they're probably the best team right now just based on record and how much they've beaten teams by, and that's wonderful, and they're a good team. But I don't think there's a necessity this year in the NFC to be a great team to get to the Super Bowl. I think we're in a year in the NFC where just get in the playoffs and anything could happen. Now, the Saints have some potential there because they're already 4-1 before Breeze comes back. The Packers have some potential there, but we know the Eagles already beat that team, and I think they have some holes. So I will preface this by saying the Eagles could still have a wonderful season and make noise in January without being dominant. But strictly on the idea of this team becoming great, do they have the capability? I don't see it. I don't see them running away and winning 5 or 6 games in a row. I don't see all the areas of strength that would make that possible. And frankly, if you go back and look at 2 years ago, one of the biggest reasons, not the only reason, but one of the biggest reasons they were so dominant was they really had a weak schedule. And I think, look at the Niners so far this year. They've taken advantage of a really weak schedule. They beat Tampa, Cincinnati, Pittsburgh without Roethlisberger, and a mess of a Browns team. That matters. And this year, it's through no one's fault, but the reality of the schedule, they don't have that. Minnesota, Dallas, Buffalo, Chicago, New England, Seattle. There's no gimmies. Now, December has some gimmies, but until then, there are no gimmies. 888-729-9494. Do you believe the Eagles have the capability? Are they capable of becoming great this year? A dominant team. I don't see it. Let's talk to Donald and Chester. What's up, Donald?
Yes. Good evening. How you doing, big guy?
Good, Donald. What's going on?
I won't touch on the dominant part. It's just that I know that a lot would be better for us if Aguilar was a whole lot more consistent. That's just my
Well, you're right. And especially Donald now, because two things on that. Number one, they kept him on a pretty big cap number. I think he makes a little over $9 million this year. So they're giving a chunk of their cap to a guy that's not that good. And number two, right now, until Deshaun gets back, he's their closest thing to a deep threat, so they need him.
Yeah, because I believe that Howard and Miles Sanders, you know, are going to do their part for what they need to do, but we still need that person to back up the defense a little bit, or Aguilar just has to be consistent and just make some key catches. I mean, I just think that is the key that will open up a lot because I'll tell you straight up, man, I'm one of the few people that didn't want to see Jordan Howard get a lot of carries until December. I understand him running the ball now and being involved, but I didn't want to see a heavy dose of him until the wintertime hits. And I just think a lot of other things have created a problem to where coach may have to lean on him a whole lot more. And God forbid, I don't want anything happen. Howard.
Yeah, I agree with you. I thought the same thing, Donald. I kind of looked at him as this team's and the version of LeGarrette Blount, like the 2019 version of Blount, and I wanted him to stay fresh and kind of be that second back. But right now, because Sanders is struggling in the run game, it feels like Doug doesn't think he has much choice but to put Howard on the field.
Yeah. You know what? Exactly. There's a couple other things. The air attack is not going the way it should be, so we have to lean on the big guy.
Right. And look, and at the end of the day, I think he can handle it. Donald, I appreciate it, because he had a big workload as he was young, you know, his first few years with the Bears. The problem is this. Right now, the Eagles cannot make plays down the field for the pass game. It's just a reality. Since DeSean Jackson went out, Carson Wentz is 3 of 15. And I say they because we did see a series or whatever it was from McCown, but Carson Wentz is 3 of 15 throwing the ball 20-plus yards down the field since Deshaun went out. I just don't know how. Like, Tucker mentioned a couple stats there, a couple reasons to believe that they're capable of greatness. And you had the red zone, turnovers, third downs. All of those are still good. They're like they were 2 years ago. The one thing, Tucker, they don't have is they're not making plays down the field. 2 years ago, they made a lot of big plays down the field. Like, they broke games open doing that. They're not doing it right now.
No, and Deshaun Jackson's obviously their best big play guy. But outside of that, I mean, Darren Sproles was always a big play guy,
yep.
But he really looks washed this year, quite honestly. And now he's hurt. He's out for at least the next few weeks. Miles Sanders has shown some value as a receiver, but they don't really have a guy outside of maybe Goddard that can make a play down the field outside of Aguilar, and they've had a hard time getting him the ball down the field.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's a lot of different ways you could look at it, and you could say some of it is game plan related, some of it is just taking what the defense gives you, and it's not a Carson Wentz problem, but it's an Eagles offense problem. If they don't make big plays down the field, I don't see how they're going to be able to attack these teams and score enough points. 888-729-9494. Dennis in Springfield. What's up, Dennis?
Hey, good evening, Joe. Before I get to my point of whether they're dominant or they can be great, and I've been running this through my head ever since the schedule came out. Did the Eagles actually win the NFC East last year, or were they a wild card team?
They were a wild card. They finished second in the NFC East.
Because this schedule is almost like a division this schedule's freaking brutal.
Well, it is.
I would love to find out how does Dallas – I mean, you play who you play, and they probably play the same teams. But when you play them and how you play them, that matters.
Sure. So the only difference, then, is between a first-place and second-place schedule really is two games, I believe. Like, there's two different common opponents – but you're not wrong. Like, Dallas got the easy teams early. The Eagles got those easy teams later in the season.
And it also depends where you're playing. Like, Dallas may have teams at home that the Eagles have away,
right.
and vice versa. But this stretch, this six-game stretch, I would bet that Dallas does not have a six-game stretch like this.
I would agree. I mean, here's how I know that's true. I haven't looked at the back end of their schedule, Dennis, but I know right now, like, they played Packers last week, which is they played Saints, Packers. So you could probably make a case like they're in the midst of their tough thing right now because the Eagles are coming up next week. But this week they get the Jets, so it's tough
Jets,
and then the Eagles, right?
Right. But now, as far as whether the Eagles could be a dominant team or a great team, I don't know if they could be a dominant or a great team. But what I do know is, this team, it's a veteran team. It's a team that's been there before. And I would have no problem with them going on the road against anybody in the playoffs with a legitimate shot to win the game.
Well, and here's the thing. 2 years ago, they didn't have to do it. And, Dennis, we appreciate it. But, look, the win in Green Bay, and we'll see how they do in this road trip, should give you some confidence they could do that. 888-729-9494, #9494. That is how you hop in. We'll come back, your phone calls. Look, the Eagles are 3-2. They had a big win on Sunday. It didn't look pretty at times, but they dominated on defense. Five games in, do you see the seeds of a team that could become dominant? I don't. I see them as a good football team and one that's going to have a tough battle to get to the playoffs. I would think they're going to get there. That was my pick before the season. I'll stick with it. They're a playoff team. They're a 10-win team, but I don't see a team capable of becoming dominant. Tucker does. I don't. What's your take? 888-729-9494. We'll get to the Middleton stuff and the Phillies. And apparently the Cowboys do have a tough stretch. We'll bring that up as well. Coming up on the other side, right here on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.